Support for the show comes from Atlassian. Atlassian software like Jira, Confluence, and Loom help power the collaboration needed for teams to accomplish what would otherwise be impossible alone. Because individually, we're great, but together, we're so much better. That's why millions of teams around the world, including 75% of the Fortune 500, trust Atlassian software for everything from space exploration and green energy to delivering pizzas and podcasts. Whether you're a team of 2, 200, or 2 million, Atlassian software is built to help keep you connected and moving together as one. Learn how to unleash the potential of your team at Atlassian.com. That's Atlassian.com. Atlassian.
Support for this podcast comes from Smartwater. Want to get a little more from every sip? Smartwater Alkaline doesn't just taste crisp and pure. It's loaded with everything you need to perform at your best, whether you're running marathons or boardroom meetings. Elevate how you hydrate and pick up a Smartwater Alkaline today. To learn more, visit drinksmartwater.com.
Welcome to the Prof G Pod's Office Hours. This is the part of the show where we answer your questions about business, big tech, entrepreneurship, and whatever else is on your mind. If you'd like to submit a question, please email a voice recording to officehours@profgmedia.com. Again, that's officehours@profgmedia.com. First question, and again, I do not see or listen to these questions before they are submitted. So that raw, authentic, unfinished, you know, what is it? The uncut version. What was it called? The Criterion uncut version, where you'd go buy a laser disc for some reason and think it was going to be a new movie because they include a 2-minute scene that justifiably was cut out of the movie. Anyway, first question.
Hi, Prof G. My name is Jordan, and I'm calling from Boca Raton, Florida. Thank you so much for this opportunity to ask a question. My father and I constantly bond over your books and ideas, and we really appreciate what we learn from you. So thank you. I'm currently studying communications at an international university in Israel, and I continue to find that my teachers and professors truly make a huge impact on me, both in and out of the classroom. I feel like we as a society still have a ways to go in recognizing teachers for all the work they do. For many kids, an inspiring teacher can be such a positive figure. How can we get to a place where teachers are compensated and recognized at a level equivalent with the impact they make?
I think high school teachers average around 60 or 62 grand. That means they average, meaning for every person that makes 80K, someone's making 40K, which I believe is the lowest paid category or profession that requires a Bachelor of Arts. The labor supply market is a function of supply and demand, and a lot of people want to be teachers, meaning that schools can continue to underpay or pay at the level they pay. There's some nuance here. High school teachers are underpaid. A high school principal in Massachusetts makes $160,000. However, 97 of the 100 highest paid public servants in the state of Massachusetts work for the University of Massachusetts, and there's several chancellors and administrators there that make $1 million a year. It's very difficult to talk generally about all teachers. What I will say is that I think one means of maintaining the supply-demand economics that I think that hold people accountable and recognize the choices they make is that we should offer more forgiveness around student loans for people who decide to go into teaching. Because if you need a BA, the cost of a BA, I think we're losing a lot of fantastic human capital that would like to teach, but because they come out of undergrad with so much debt, they are forced to go into higher paying professions. Complicated topic. I agree with you. It would be nice if there was more compensation involved. But I, as someone who is an academic, granted not undergrad, or not primary, but secondary, I sometimes worried that we're overpaid. Anyways, Jordan, Boca Raton, good for you. And not only that, the nicest thing anyone has said, really the nicest thing anyone has said to me in a long time is that my content is a means that you bond with your father. That means a lot to me. Thank you for saying that.
Thank you, Professor. Thanks to the whole team. Appreciate it.
Next question.
Hi, Prof. G. I'm Mary Catherine from Irvine, California. And my question is, as a fellow parent, I would love to know what advice you are giving your two boys in regard to education after high school. Are you going to be pushing college or even post-secondary degrees? And, you know, just more broadly, with your experience being highly educated and in the academia world, would just love to know what you want to pass on to your boys, you know, what they will take away from your experience.
Do you have kids, Mary Catherine?
I do.
How old?
4 and almost a year.
Oh gosh, you're in the midst of it. That's an active household. So people talk a big game about letting their kids do what they want to do and alternatives to college, and billionaires are funding people to drop out of college, and some of our most famous entrepreneurs famously dropped out of college. I would be heartbroken if my kids didn't go to college. And I've fallen into the same trap I think a lot of parents fall into, and that is I'm very focused on them getting into what I'll call an elite university. And I'm not proud of that, but I desperately want that. And I'm trying to inculcate in them a sense of academic achievement such that that is an option for them. As expensive as college is, if you get into a good school, it's still a fantastic ROI. Graduates earn on average around 65 grand a year, I think it is, and non-college grads are earning about 39K. And over the course of your lifetime, that delta gets even broader. People with college degrees on average make a multiple over their lifetime in terms of earnings versus non-college grads. The pressure we're putting on our kids is becoming immense because every year it gets harder and harder. I went to UCLA and UC Berkeley. The admittance rate at UCLA when I applied, Mary Catherine, I'm older than you, was 70%. And I had to apply twice. This year, the admittance rate will be 9%. I would bet the admittance rate to UC Irvine is low double digits, meaning that 7 out of 8 households in Orange County that would love to have their kid go to a great school, be an anteater, are going to get a rejection letter. And it's just heartbreaking. Spring used to be a nervous but joyous time for households to see where their kid was going to college. Now it's sort of the season of despair when you find out that your daughter, your son, who played by the rules and did really well, isn't going to a university that they'd hoped to go to. We need alternative paths into a great middle-class lifestyle that don't involve college. We have to recognize that 2/3 of our kids will not end up with a traditional BA. But being very blunt, I would be heartbroken. But you have some time to figure this out, Mary Catherine. Oh my gosh, the world is going to be so different in 15 years. Who knows how we're going to be learning. But congratulations on 2 kids and living in a wonderful part of the world. I appreciate your question, Mary Catherine.
Thank you, Scott. I appreciate your time.
Take care. We have one quick break before our final 2 questions. Stay with us. Support for Prop G comes from Mint Mobile. If you're tired of your pricey phone bill, you could make room for it by cutting out frivolous expenses, your lattes, your gym membership, your favorite streaming service. But that sounds terrible. Another probably better option is switching to a more affordable provider, like Mint Mobile. With Mint Mobile, you can get 3 months of premium wireless service for just $15 a month. That includes high-speed 5G data plus unlimited talk and text. And Mint Mobile has great rates whether you're buying for one or for a family. And their family plan starts at just 2 lines. You also don't need to get a new device. When you buy a new Mint Mobile plan, you can use your own phone and keep your phone number and contacts. To get this new customer offer and your new 3-month unlimited wireless plan for just $15 a month, go to mintmobile.com/propg. That's mintmobile.com/propg. Cut your wireless bill up to $15 a month at mintmobile.com/propg. $45 upfront payment required, equivalent to $15 a month. New customers on first 3-month plan only. Speed slower above 40 gigabytes on unlimited plan. Additional taxes, fees, and restrictions apply. See Mint Mobile for details. Support for Prop G comes from NerdWallet. You don't have to be a genius to start making better financial decisions today. It's not that sexy, but piling up lots of little monetary victories today can yield some pretty significant rewards down the line. The tricky part is knowing where to start. NerdWallet can help. Their financial experts have helped countless people find ways to maximize every dollar they earn. Now, the team is helping folks get more from every dollar they spend. NerdWallet lets you compare top travel credit cards side by side to maximize your spending, some even offering up to 10 times the points on every dollar you charge. Their expert team of nerds do the work reviewing top credit cards so you can trust you have the smartest one for future you. If I had better rewards right now, I'd probably upgrade my hotel at South by Southwest so I could have a big fat party and everyone would be impressed and love me. Wherever you go next, make it happen with a smarter travel credit card. Don't wait to make smart financial decisions. Compare and find smarter credit cards, savings accounts, and more today at nerdwallet.com. NerdWallet, finance smarter. Reminder, credit is subject to lender approval and terms apply. Welcome back. Question number 3.
Hey, Prof. G. I'm Prof. P., a tenured professor at Syracuse University. Now, I've heard your thoughts on tenure, so try not to hold that against me today. But I'm here to ask you about the mental health crisis on college campuses. Recent data show that 1 in 5 students have a diagnosable mental illness, but more than 3 times that amount experience symptoms. A university's response is often to open up a center and employ more counselors. In my opinion, these solutions are happening too far downstream. So how does academia need to respond to better meet the needs of students? And more importantly, how do we as a society head this off more upstream?
Prof. G, Prof. P, this is like East Coast, West Coast rap wars here. And by the way, Prof. P, you should be in HR recruiting. We have 2 outstanding colleagues, Caroline Chagrin and Claire Miller, who I believe are students of yours. Is that correct?
Correct. Both former students. And I want to make sure that, they're not giving you any trouble. If they are, make sure you tell me and I'll take care of it.
Trust me, the trouble's on my end. Thanks for the thoughtful question. We struggle with this, as I'm sure you do at Syracuse every day. And that is, university administrators have unwittingly become mental health counselors. 1 in 5 American adults struggle with mental illness. It's 1 in 3 for people between the ages of 18 and 25. Jonathan Haidt, a colleague at NYU, says that the emerging crisis in mental health among teens is a function largely of 2 things. One, concierge or bulldozer parenting, where we use so many sanitary wipes on our kids' lives that they don't develop their own immunities. And then they get to Syracuse or NYU, get their first C, get their heart broken, get worried about getting kicked out or can't compete or used to being the best in their class, and all of a sudden they're not. And they literally can't handle that type of disappointment and kind of melt down. And then the second thing, especially among young women, is the lack or the self-destroying process that is social media. Boys bully physically and verbally, girls bully relationally, and we put these nuclear weapons in their hands in the form of phones and social media. So what can be done? Gosh, I think it's a multidimensional thing. I think the first thing is to destigmatize it, and that is to say, okay, you catch a cold, you don't find it shameful. You aren't scared to talk about it. You aren't scared to go to your parents and say, I have a cold. I think there's some fantastic innovation online in terms of talk therapy or apps that help people reach out in real time to a therapist. There's some interesting innovation there. I think that insurance companies need to take a more proactive approach towards mental well-being. And instead of it being disease state on our heels, get onto our toes. I proactively try and manage my mental health. I don't know if you do the same thing, Profi. I have an acronym, SCAFA. I sweat, which resets me. I try and eat clean. Abstinence from alcohol and THC, which I love, but I find when I'm not right in the head or I feel a little bit off, it's better just to take a break. I find being around family very grounding. And affection, whether it's with my dogs or having my kids pile on me and watch TV, I find that proximity to other beings and touch is really, really valuable. But I don't think there's a silver bullet here. I think it's a huge issue. I think universities play a role, but I think it probably starts earlier with parents, with the medical profession, and just societal, to removing the societal stigma. Anyways, Prof. P, thanks for your good work. And keep sending us those outstanding professionals. I feel as if we should give you some stock in Prof. G Media in Section 4. You're literally our one-man HR department. You're doing something right, Prof.
I got more in line, ready and waiting for you.
We love it. All right. Thanks for your good work, Prof. Go Orange.
Thank you.
Next question.
Hi, Prof. G. My name is Maggie Walsh, and I'm in New York City. I work in consulting, helping higher education institutions think about the future and improve their student experiences, often through the built environment. I'm also beginning my MBA at Stern part-time starting in the fall. So my question is, if you had the chance to start fresh and build a brand new institution inclusive of undergraduate education and intended to rival the greats, what would be its defining characteristics, thinking about its curriculum, its model, facilities or partnerships, its business model?
Thanks, Maggie, and congratulations on getting into Stern. I think we need to de-Hermes higher ed and recognize that the goal of American higher ed isn't to take the top 1% and turn them into billionaires, but take the bottom 90% and turn us into millionaires. I don't think that these campuses need to be Ritz-Carlton, Brentwood, or the Four Seasons in Chapel Hill. I think they should be more cost conscious. I think faculty should be held more accountable and be more efficient and productive. So broader admittance rates, lower costs, give unremarkables opportunity to have remarkable futures, as the University of California did for me. My startup, Section 4, is largely based on these principles. We're trying to give you 68 to 80% of the classes you're going to take at Stern for 1% of the friction. You don't have to apply. You don't have to be a certain.